60. The festive period is over. We are sick and now recovering from borderline alcohol poisoning, but we're back.
Today, we're going to focus more about transfer news and some speculation. But I do think something needs to be said for how I love the festive period from a fan perspective, because it's football all the time. But from fantasy, it's just absolutely maddening.
Not for my FPL squad, it wasn't.
How'd you do? Are you catching up to me yet, Chuck?
I think so. Maybe. I don't know. All I know is that I've hit green arrows in the past 5 weeks.
Yeah, so I'm up to 22K right now.
I'm up to 1.4 million.
So the maddening aspect of it, at least from my perspective, is just results-wise.
I mean, for context, at the start of my green arrows, I was at 2.4 million. So I've risen a million spots.
You've technically gained more ground than I have.
That I have.
Yeah, I mean, I did. Let's see. I've had 4 out of 5 green arrows. The last 2 weeks, I had 57 and then 84. But I had a red arrow on 60 in game week 19. That was the one that kind of frustrated me, because I would probably be inside 18 right now.
Yeah, that week I had 75.
Yeah,
bring it in, Sun has been wonderful.
Yeah, the problem with that week for me was just literally no one on my team did anything. I mean, Kane scored and Lucas Digne had 2 goals. Robertson got a clean sheet. Salah, Richarlison, but so many people went off. The weekly average was 59. That, you know.
Yeah, that week for me it was Sigurdsson, Trent, Salah, and Sun.
Well, I guess we'll go a little off script here. Is there anybody, I mean, right now, at least from my perspective, the week off is very interesting because I have way too much time to ponder my potential transfers. My column that's going to be coming out this week for RotoWorld is going to go a bit more in depth on it. But is there anyone you have marked for people who are going to have to get ready to get rid of Heung-Min Son, which is a lot of people right now?
Well, so it depends on what you're trying to do in conjunction with that. Because at this point, a lot of people are either trying to bring Salah back into their team, or, like me, they're trying to bring in Harry Kane. Because what I'm doing is downgrading Son a little bit to Felipe Anderson, and then bringing in Harry Kane for Lacazette.
I like that a lot, actually. I jumped the gun a little bit, and I already transferred out Son.
I mean, I'm doing it soon.
I went for Christian Eriksen, and then in order to free up the funds to get him, I sold Joe Bryan, and I brought in Cedric.
Mr. Consistency. And Joe Bryan was overpriced to begin with, so.
Yeah. I mean, the thing was, I know you kind of had built me up on him. I mean, he's equipped to be a successful fullback in the Premier League, but at this point,
Fulham's not helping him.
Yeah, Fulham's not helping him at all. Fulham has not been active in the window yet. Do you think they have any hopes of staying up? Is there anyone they can go out and get help them, or
unless Ranieri gets some favors from some teams? They're kind of screwed.
Yeah, I mean, what? I guess if someone was like, "Hey, Chuck, here's the Fulham checkbook," who would you go out and sign? Within a realistic transfer for their budget.
That's the problem. They don't have a budget. They've already blown it all.
I mean, would you think maybe loan moves? I don't see them not doing anything in the window because
well, it depends.
They can't afford to.
Th- that's another problem, though. It depends on where those loans are coming from, because they already have Fosu Mensah on loan and they have Colin Chambers on loan.
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up is because I saw a comment today on Sky Sports saying Ranieri admitted that Fosu Mensah is free to be recalled by Manchester United. So that might be his way of saying, please recall him from loan so we can bring someone else in.
Now, that would make sense, because Fosu Mensah makes really no sense in a Fulham shirt. He doesn't make much sense in a United shirt either. Should probably go back to Crystal Palace. But if they were able to get rid of Fosu Mensah, then they could definitely target either a strong center back or a proper defensive midfielder, because Frank Zambo and Gisa is not good.
Yeah, he's just not good at his profession. Speaking of center back and central midfielders, came across some stuff when I was going through Reddit today. Gary Cahill potential loan to Fulham. Does that make sense? Are you interested?
I don't know if Gary Cahill has the legs to really be useful. Like, yes, his knowledge would be great for their center backs, but I honestly think that Colin Chambers should just be playing center back and not midfield.
Yeah, that him playing in midfield is almost as confusing as Maurizio Sarri's usage of N'Golo Kanté.
N'Golo Kanté now looks like he's figured out attacking, and honestly looks pretty good going forward.
We could have a whole discussion about that. You don't make the guy who is the defensive center midfielder on back-to-back different clubs that won the Premier League into an attacking part of a trio.
When your entire system rests on Jorginho, you do.
That would almost be as stupid as becoming the manager of Manchester United and then buying a world-class player who's a midfielder and then benching him and telling him you would never be captain and then being surprised when you get fired and everyone's happy.
Oh, wait, that happened too.
The other guy, another Chelsea guy, you think Danny Drinkwater could be any of service to Fulham?
He definitely would. The funny thing is the fact that, personally, I like him more in a move to Manchester City.
Yeah, so for those who have not read it yet, I suggest going to Twitter or RotoWorld and reading Chuck's column, Needs Around the League, which takes a look at pretty much the buying guide to whatever club in the Premier League should address in the window.
And more or less it says Fulham's fucked.
Yeah. So you're saying Manchester City. So you're just saying that they need cover for Fernandinho, and is that more so because he's card prone, which ordinarily wouldn't be a concern, or is it more fixture congestion?
Card prone, fixture congestion, the fact that he's not getting any younger. It's just all stacking up for him at this point.
What was one of the other clubs that you came across when you were doing your research where you're like, I identified a deficiency that they need to address, and if they don't, it's going to be detrimental to where they finish?
Detrimental? Probably Burnley. If Burnley doesn't get fullbacks to hold their position, they're going to go back in that relegation race.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've talked about it on a couple previous episodes, but the de-evolution of Sean Dyche ball has been quite insane. And I mean, I don't think it's so much to do with how they play and just that they should have never qualified for the Europa League, because that kind of set them back with injuries and everything. But I do think they need fullbacks. One of the guys I think that could be a solution would be Jonjo Kenny from Everton. Is there anyone else that you think currently in the Premier League they could maybe move for?
Currently at the Premier League, it would honestly make sense to call Tottenham for a loan for Kyle Walker-Peters.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? He has three assists in one game.
He needs to play. Every time he plays, he does good things. But now that Serge Aurier is back, he's third the pecking order.
Before we move on to a fullback who did just move in the window, since we're on the topic of Burnley, I've been seeing a lot of rumors about a move for Jay Rodriguez.
Hate
Is
it.
this, you don't like it?
I don't like it because of the fact that they just bought Vidra. Vidra and Jay Rodriguez are the same player. And if anything, Jay Rodriguez is probably a slightly worse version of Vidra.
I don't know. I mean, Jay Rodriguez has done it somewhat kind of in the Premier League before.
Exactly. Stop yourself at somewhat kinda and just say he hasn't done it.
Well, I mean, he was on Southampton. He wasn't terrible when he was on Southampton.
How long ago was that?
2 seasons?
How long ago
Three
was it when he was
seasons?
good at Southampton?
When he was kind of good. Okay, I get your point. I get your
Exactly.
point. Fullback, I think, could have been of service to Burnley, has moved to another club. So we'll start there with Bournemouth. They were very active today in the window, signing Nathaniel Clyne on loan until the end of the season from Liverpool, as well as striker Dominic Solanke for a fee of 19 million plus add-ons.
That is hefty.
So I would am very Very, I've been looking forward to the discussion for most of the day. We'll start with Klein because this one's more cut and dry. Is this a smart move for them, and is there any fantasy relevance?
Considering their injuries to Simon Francis and the fact that Diego Rico has not been very good. I think that Nathaniel Clyne is an upgrade over any defender that they have on the roster. I don't think you bring in Nathaniel Clyne on loan to not play him. I have already picked him up in a Fantrax league, and I would recommend that anyone who has defensive deficiencies also pick him up. While he hasn't been good in about a year and a half, he does seem to have a clean bill of health, but there was no shot of him playing at Liverpool this year.
Yeah, I mean he's dealt with his own injury struggles over the last 2 seasons. The way I looked at it, kind of like you said, maybe like a fourth defender in a draft league in Fantrax, especially if you're using the Toga scoring. The thing I think is interesting, I mean I'm not going to go out and get him in OFPL,
Oh
but
no.
I mean he's at 4.4 right now, which honestly isn't terrible for a fullback who is able to get up and down the flanks and put crosses in.
Yeah, but like half of Bournemouth's defense was around that.
I'm just saying I'm not gonna go look at him, but I wouldn't.
But at the end of the day, Nathan Aki or Nathaniel Clyne.
Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, if they do start picking up some clean sheets, which
Then
I
it's
don't
still
think,
Aki.
yeah, it's still him, but are they, is Ake at 4.5?
He is currently.
Because I mean, the way that I kind of was would be looking at it is just from the price perspective. I mean, Ake is at 5 million, so I'm not sure once the system is updated, whether client's price is going to go up from 4.4.
I don't know if it can.
I mean,
I don't know how that works for transfers between teams.
yeah, it's that's an interesting point if they're coming from Premier League to Premier League. But I did, yeah, I mean, in draft leagues, you're going to want to get them. It's just, it's kind of ironic that, they lose Adam Smith in November to a season-ending injury. They lose Simon Francis, then they go out and buy arguably the most injury-prone right back, or get him on loan, the most injury-prone fullback in the Premier League.
Yeah, but what else were they going to get?
John Joe Kenny.
Okay, so you're going to be beating that John Joe Kenny drum all episode, I see.
I think I'm just going to do that until he gets a move or he's the starting right back for Everton.
I mean, Seamus Coleman isn't doing anything to stop him from being the starting right back.
Yeah. So the other half of this moving day for Bournemouth, I don't understand why they did this deal unless they know that Callum Wilson is leaving in the summer.
Angry that they hijacked Crystal Palace getting a starter in Dominic Solanke to do this. I picked up Dominic Solanke almost half a week ago. So that when he got his move, I already have him in my team and don't need to worry about other people fighting for him. And then he goes to fucking Bournemouth to pave the way for Jermaine Defoe to go on an 18-month loan to Rangers and potentially for Callum Wilson to go to Chelsea.
So before we get to the Callum Wilson aspect of this, what is your take on him? Obviously, in OFPL, it's pretty irrelevant unless Wilson moves or Wilson or King gets hurt. What is your take on him in draft formats?
I mean, unless real rumors come out about Wilson having legs, Solanke's useless.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why they would do that unless they've kind of given up on trying to keep Wilson there.
At this point, the only reason I'm still holding him is because I also have a Morata on my team.
Oh. Okay. I was going to say, yikes. That's fair.
Meaning, I need all the help I can get it forward. And in our league, I realized today that forwards are fucked.
Yeah, every year I usually underdraft for forwards. And then this year I decided I was going to overdraft. But
no such thing.
Yeah.
Listen to the top of our waivers.
So, oh yeah, for listeners unaware, it's a 12 team I guess you could say hyper-competitive, we don't have a ton of hobbies league.
Yeah, it's a lot of people who should be at Togaholics Anonymous.
Can we start that? We should probably start that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure all of our significant others, if they could, would put us in it.
Yeah.
But back to the subject, these are the top 10 forwards. Sam Vokes, Adama Traore, Luciano Vietto, Kelechi Iheanacho, Isaac Success, Cenk Tosun, Charlie Austin, Andre Gray, Laurent Departre, and Jordan Ayew.
Yeah, it's a
riveting.
A desolate wasteland. I mean, my drafting Lukaku and Rashford has actually been very, very nice lately. And just starting both, knowing Lukaku's going to come off the bench to score.
Yes.
But
agree on that.
We'll get to the Callum Wilson part now. So Callum Wilson. Do we think it's a good move for Bournemouth to sell him?
Good for who? Is it good for Bournemouth? Absolutely not. Is it good for Chelsea? Oh yeah, because they need anything they can get up top.
So I'm kind of split here because I don't know enough about Bournemouth's structure financially, or about kind of how their transfer department works to gauge this. But
well,
this could
I did
be
some
a
digging today. and it ain't good.
This could be a situation where if they don't ask for enough from Callum Wilson and they sell him for not enough and they can't replace him, I mean, they could go from pushing to become a perennial mid-table challenging for a Europa League team to, you know, pulling a Southampton where they're fighting tooth and nail to stay afloat every season.
Do they truly need to replace Callum Wilson when they could move to a 4-3-3 with Fraser, Josh King, and David Brooks up top?
I think from my perspective, the gap from King, the gap from Wilson to King is
There's definitely a gap. I'm not disagreeing with you there. But is it a gap big enough to mean relegation? That's the big thing that matters.
No, but my point more so being is if you lose a guy who's pretty much scoring close to 50% of your club's goals or being involved in them, because assist-wise, I'm pretty sure he's at around 45% and playing a direct hand.
Yeah, I mean, it's legitimately him and Fraser doing everything, and then the other 25% is Brooks.
Yeah, I mean, then you have to go out and say, all right, are we gonna ask for, I don't even know, what do you think his valuation would be from the club right now? I mean, I would
at
expect
least 35 million.
I mean, you're gonna turn around and say, okay, we have a striker now to replace him. We have Josh King, we're fine there. Do we want to go out and buy, I don't know, two new fullbacks? Do we want to go out and buy a goalkeeper who hasn't been put through the rinse cycle in the Premier League? Like, or do you turn around and say, okay, we're going to take the next step and we're going to invest? I don't think that they're...
I think that they expand their stadium.
And then that's another possibility too. I just think that Callum Wilson is 26 years old.
Callum Wilson also may never be as good as he is this season.
Well, Callum Wilson's never been fit for this long.
Exactly.
That's the thing that...
Hedging your bets, I don't know if you can truly justify keeping him if Chelsea offers real market value.
I mean, do we think... If you were Callum Wilson, where would you want to go?
If I'm Callum Wilson, I'm going to Chelsea because that means Champions League football.
Yeah, but the thing is that I'm just having a hard time picturing Mauricio Sarri writing his first team up on the whiteboard with Callum Wilson's name up front.
England wants to do it.
I think ideally, I mean, I have nothing to go off this from, just from watching how guys play. I think that a phenomenal partnership up front would be Callum Wilson and Jamie Vardy.
It would be. But if you're going to Leicester, isn't that basically the same level as Bournemouth?
It's a sustainable version of Bournemouth.
Fair, but I just don't think either of those teams would get the other player.
Oh, no, I agree with that. That's kind of in my, you know, fantasy football manager, FIFA career mode kind of thinking, but... It's just something to ponder.
I'll try that out in Football Manager for you.
Yeah. Could you see him going anywhere else besides Chelsea, or do you think that that's the destination if he goes in the top six?
Yeah, if he goes in the top six, that's it, because he's not playing second fiddle at Spurs. He's not playing third, fourth fiddle at Arsenal. No way he goes to United.
Yeah, we have enough strikers for one spot.
And even City has at least two.
Liverpool.
Still at least two.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Leicester kind of came to mind, where it's not really...
The only other option, actually...
Everton. It's taken me a second to respond to that because it kind of makes sense.
It does, because they need to move Richarlison back out wide because that's where he's most effective. Their other forwards, even though I love Dominic Calvert-Lewin, doesn't seem ready to shoulder the load on his own.
You know, I think I actually, let me see if I can find it really quick. I think I actually saw something on Twitter where John Wallen might have mentioned something about Wilson fitting in at Everton. I can't find it at the moment, but I'm pretty sure he mentioned that as well. I mean, it's just tough. It's an awkward spot to be in. I do think Chelsea would be a logical destination, but we're also forgetting there's this guy named Michy Batshuayi who would probably like to come back and I think has done enough to warrant a chance at Chelsea, a real, an actual chance.
Mm-hmm.
So something to ponder. It is interesting though that Bournemouth kind of made those two moves.
I found JW's tweet on Wilson out. Certainly that'll be the plan this summer, and Solanke should have plenty of experience next year. Not sure I believe that he'll leave this season, but in an Everton/Chelsea mid-season rate for Wilson. Actually, John, this tweet is just riddled with errors. but basically, he's basically saying he doesn't think that he leaves for Everton or Chelsea mid-season, but that he thinks there's a pretty good chance after.
Yeah, the other side of the Everton thing is that clearly when they went out and bought a striker from abroad, it didn't work out last time with Tosin, so they would probably be more inclined to spend on someone domestic.
Tosin was fine under Big Sam, because his numbers for what he was given under Big Sam were fine. He's just not what should be expected in an actually mobile team.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But, I mean, Silva kind of seems like he's long-term there.
For better or worse.
Yeah.
Not sure I like that, but that's what we got.
Yeah. Since we've been talking so much about Chelsea, we might as well talk about the move that they pulled off. And it pains me. It truly pains me.
Why?
Because Christian Pulisic's my favorite player.
Okay. You can and still love him and hate Chelsea.
Can you, though? Chuck, if Manchester United or Arsenal signed Harry Kane, would you still like Harry Kane?
That's different. He's not American.
Oh, okay. If Harry Kane was American and he went from Spurs to Arsenal, would you still like Harry Kane?
I'd still love Harry Kane. I would absolutely not be able to root for him in the Premier League, but when he pulls on the U.S. men's national team jersey, 100%. And I will 100% be able to root for Pulisic when he is a between 4th and 6th round draft pick in my leagues next year.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick him in fantasy. I just was really excited to get a Pulisic Dortmund jersey. Although, honestly, they'll probably be on sale now.
I was going to say, you can still get a Pulisic Dortmund jersey.
Work in my favor. Anyway, he joins Chelsea on a deal worth a reported $73 million U.S., making him the most expensive U.S. soccer player ever. He's there on a five-year deal, and then he has been loaned back to Dortmund for the rest of the season.
Bye-bye, William.
So there's a couple things I want to talk about there. The first one is, do you think this is a good signing for Chelsea?
I actually do. Pulisic is 20. He is marketable. He is very good at his job. Unfortunately, Jadon Sancho is slightly better at his job than he is.
And younger.
Ridiculous. But I do believe that he'll make a good fit at Chelsea. And I don't get the stick on Sarri not developing players, because he does develop attackers.
So I think Pulisic's going to be one of the first times where we realize that it's not just established guys that he can develop. It's you need to be, and I don't have another term, but not smart, but you need to have a firm grasp on how to play. You can't just be like a physical specimen or a guy
not,
with
paper. If you're not a technical footballer, you are not going to make any inroads under Sarri.
The thing that kind of stands out for me is that Pulisic's played so in so many different positions for the U.S., and obviously he's always played on the wings for Dortmund, but he has an understanding of how to move off the ball and play without the ball at his feet, and that's massive. And I think that's why he's going to be a big success there. The other side of it, I think it's the best move in the entire world was to loan him back to Dortmund, because I didn't see him getting integrated mid-season. I think that would be detrimental for him. And then on top of that, he goes back to Dortmund where they really don't have to play him that much except when they need to. And it's kind of like making sure they're preserving their asset.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, looking at how big that transfer fee was, do you think that's too much for him?
Not really. Like, they had to do it.
And, but I mean,
and like, they're gonna make it back. Inflation.
Well, they're also gonna make it back, and then twice that in jersey sales.
I don't know if I'm buying all the jersey sales stuff, just because I don't know exactly how much teams actually get from that.
So the way that I kind of looked at this fee, because I thought it was a little too much at first, and then you're taking a country that's just starting to get into football. You're taking their...
In new eyes on Chelsea, good Lord, they're going to be fine.
They're going to get...
an American tour with Pulisic. Mm-hmm. They're going to sell a shit ton of tickets, and they're going to have more people watching them to get them a bigger cut. The Premier League money.
So I think this is a very smart move on both parties overall. I would have preferred to see him at United, even though I don't think he would have fit into the team. At least he's not at least we can agree he's not at Liverpool.
At Chelsea, he's a first team player. At any of the other teams linked, he's not.
Yeah. So I guess we're assuming Willian and Pedro are going to move on next year.
Oh, yeah.
Time to cut those guys. There was another move today, clearly with less magnitude than the three we've just talked about. But Huddersfield Town have completed the loan signing of Jason Puncheon from Crystal Palace. Is this a good move? Is this a relevant move?
For the interim in which Aaron Moy will be at the Asian Games, beautiful, because they needed a first team midfielder or two.
What is he going to bring? I mean, I think he's going to get right into the team.
That's the problem. I don't know.
Huddersfield Town are such a weird club because they don't really have anyone who's creative at all. So he does bring that there.
Hold one second. I'm going to walk off.
So do we see this loan signing as a good move for Huddersfield Town?
I see it as an okay move for Huddersfield.
How about fantasy-wise? Do you think I jumped the gun by adding him when I saw the rumor come out this morning?
Yes. I understand why you did it, but I think for the most part, Puncheon is going to be a like 6.2 like points per game guy.
I mean, the Terriers need to make something happen, and I think they probably should have shot a little bit higher. I don't know if they were able to.
Well, that's the problem, is in their midfield, all they needed was a short-term rental. I get why they signed Puncheon, because he's only cover until Aaron Moy gets back, because they don't have enough midfielders to go without Aaron Moy. But they have bigger needs everywhere else.
Yeah, I think they probably would have been better suited to have signed a pacey striker. But I mean, I guess it'll get the job. I just like Wagner, and I just don't want to see them go down, and I'm starting to fret.
Yeah, love David Wagner. Unfortunately, see no way he could save Huddersfield. But the thing is, he shouldn't have been able to save them last year. So we at least got one tightrope effect from him.
All right, before we wrap up today's episode, we got some questions on Twitter about Manchester United players. And it kind of has been harping around where's the value in the guys that are still available on the market. And most of them are defenders. We're going to do a quick wrap here. Chuck Lindelof, Smalling, Valencia, Diogo Dalot, they're all mostly owned in less than 50% of Fantrax leagues. Are you interested in any of them, or do you think that the fact they have not addressed their defensive issues means stay away for the moment?
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't matter who they buy. With Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they're not going to address their defensive issues. So if you're not attacking outside back, I don't trust you in a United shirt.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to score enough goals where it's not going to matter how many they concede. So I would kind of not touch anyone. A question I did like, though, from Todiander on Twitter is what's the trade value of Alexis Sanchez right now? Is he someone you would consider moving for?
Oh, yeah, because everything points to Alexis Sanchez taking over the Jesse Lingard, Juan Mata role.
Yeah, I mean, what would you give up to get him though? Because I'm having a hard time pinpointing what I would feel okay with giving up.
So it depends. Like, I think you'd have to give at least a midfielder three and like a forward three or a forward two for him. But like, it's tough because I'd highly consider trading Richarlison's inconsistencies for Alexis Sanchez.
I think most people would bite on that too.
Because when Alexis Sanchez starts, even if he doesn't score, he's a double-digit scorer, period.
And then the other side of it too, and this is something I don't really like to do with fantasy. I mean, at the rate that United is scoring right now, I might honestly be okay with starting Sanchez if he's not starting. No, he's going to come off the bench for 20 minutes.
I would. I do that with Leroy Sané every week.
Yeah, so there's a lot to ponder there with United.
But the real question with United is, do you think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to be their long-term manager?
So I've been thinking about this for a couple days pretty hard, and where I'm at right now is United have a very talented squad that Mourinho just did his best to make sure they didn't want to play for him. You really don't need to go out and get too much. You need to solidify that center back pairing. You need to address the fact you have two of your three fullbacks that are good are aging. You really just need to address the defense. And based upon the new manager bump, which I think, will come down, Ole Gunnar's going to get the players to play for him because he was, Mr. Super Sub when he played for United. So he understands how to talk to these players. He's worked wonders already on Lukaku, who couldn't hit the side of a fucking barn with a soccer ball, and now he can't stop scoring.
Well, the thing is at least the Lukaku stuff was more down this system than Lukaku not being a good striker, because he
It
scores
also
25 everywhere he is.
has a lot to do with when a striker is short of confidence, Jose Mourinho was always there to let him know that he was not
Bad.
performing up to par. So, my point being is that there's two ways United can go. You can say, look, we need to reset and we need a manager to come in who's going to be
Well,
Ferguson-esque and be personnel, recruitment, set the team up. Or you can keep Solskjaer as a motivator and then sit down as a front office and say, we need to actually start making realistic, sound transfers that are worth our money. If someone is buying the team and setting it up for Solskjaer, and his job is, I need to get them to play for me and I will play any system, he's the perfect manager for them for the next 10 years.
I don't see why you can't do that at United. They honestly need a change.
And it's something that you kind of see, I guess for a good comparison, you kind of see it in NFL and in American football, where the coach is the coach and he's told what players he gets, and the best coaches are the ones that adapt to their personnel.
Yep.
Football is a sport where the player does not have as much power unless he's a global superstar.
It is going to be very interesting, though, to see what happens in United v. Spurs, part two.
It's funny because I am just so happy that Mourinho's gone, and I said it many times before, I'll keep saying it. Watching United has been the highlight of my week ever since I started watching them in 2005. And I just dreaded it under Mourinho. And
I don't know if you noticed, but I published some watchability rankings recently. And there was a three-way tie for first place.
With who?
United, Liverpool, and Spurs.
How? How is United up there with them?
Because United, when they're actually having fun, beautiful to watch.
Oh, no, I know. What I'm saying is that the product they put out after, like, since, so up
I'm,
until...
I'm saying this is post-Mourinho.
Oh, dude. No, I agree with that, but...
Yeah, this is not full season. This is just what teams are the most fun to watch right now.
United has historically they play free flowing attack first football, where, you know, there's so many games from the Ferguson era where they'd be down 2-0 at halftime. I remember the one against Everton. They're down 2-0, they came back and won 5-2. The defending takes care of itself when you pound teams into submission with attacking football.
Yeah.
And that's the team they are.
United and Spurs play the same way.
Yeah, it's just the thing, and I guess to answer your question in short, I think he is the guy to go into the future if they kind of clear up their transfer policies and say, look, we're going to give you as much talent as we can, but you have to make sure they're happy and they want to play. Because at the end of the day, people forget they're also human beings. People get upset. People get mad. They don't want to do their job, just like you and I sometimes, if it's a bad environment. And that's what Mourinho did. I think Solskjaer is the right guy for the job. And they asked him after the Newcastle game. They're like, are you excited about the rest? And he's like, no, because we have an FA Cup match on Saturday. That's the kind of manager you want.
He looks so happy managing this team. It is beautiful. Like, it's like a little kid in a candy store every time United scores.
I mean, my favorite highlight of his career outside of all the goals he scored in finals was there's one where he runs like the length of the pitch and gets a red card to pull a guy down from not going in and scoring a breakaway. That's the kind of player he was. He's a folk hero for United fans. Obviously, those that are my senior, because I haven't watched them that long, and I only watched his last season, but he embodies the spirit that United needs in a manager. Also, I'll take Eddie Howe if we won't sign him, if we won't do him long term.
Yeah, Eddie Howe would be a very good signing.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode of FPL 360 and Sean finally talking about Manchester United again. Chuck, you want to tell the folks where they can find us on social media?
Yes, you can find us on Twitter at FPL_360. And you can find this podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Music, or Play Music. I don't have a good end to this. So I'm just going to keep talking, and happy FA Cup weekend.